Hello, this is Liz Dunshy, Managing Editor of CCR Corp. Welcome to today's podcast, and hello to all of the wonderful members of the CorporateCouncil.net who are listening. I'm talking today with J.W. Verrett, who is on the law faculty at George Mason University, where he teaches banking, securities, corporations, and accounting for lawyers. J.W. also frequently serves as an expert witness, and we have a podcast episode from 2018 with J.W. talking about his experience with being a professor as well as an expert witness. And J.W. also served as chief economist and senior counsel to the U.S. House Committee on Financial Services, and he previously clerked on the Delaware Court of Chancery. And actually, we, J.W. and I, almost overlapped with our time in Delaware. Today, because J.W. is a man of many hats, we are talking about his experience in serving on the Investor Advisory Committee of the Securities and Exchange Commission. The IAC has been getting more attention lately with its recommendations on recent SEC rulemaking and proposals. And this is also a very timely conversation because the SEC has announced a call for new candidates to join the committee. So welcome to the show, J.W., and thanks very much for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Liz. I've been reading the CorporateCouncil.net since law school, I think.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I can remember sitting in John Coates' corporate law class reading Corporate Counsel and helping me figure out how to navigate this world. So that was a long time ago.
That is amazing. Love to hear that. Thank you. Let's start off today with some quick basics. So what is the SEC's Investor Advisory Committee, and how did you get involved?
Well, this is something that has been around the SEC for a long time. I know it stretches back at least 20 years. It existed in a discretionary capacity. The SEC chair created it. I know that there was some version of this before Dodd-Frank, but the Dodd-Frank Act codified and made statutory the creation of the Investor Advisory Committee. It's made up of a group of people that represent the interests of investors but have a number of different perspectives. They're selected by the collective decision of the commissioners, and so we all represent different views, different perspectives, different backgrounds. And it's a terrific opportunity to work with the professionals of the SEC.
Yeah.
Yeah, the statutory authority. The other thing I'll add is the statute gives the IAC the authority to make recommendations to the SEC, which the commission is supposed to respond to. They don't have to do it, but they do have to respond to us by statute. And a few of the recommendations of the IAC over the years have become regulations.
Yeah, I imagine that's fascinating to get to work with the SEC so closely and just to have those connections to the other members of the IAC has got to be a pretty great benefit as well.
Yeah, it's been a great opportunity. I serve with a fellow academic right now, Paul Mahoney, UVA Law School. I serve with some folks, Ernst & Young. Mm-hmm. There's always a contingent of public pension fund representation.
Hmm.
And some securities lawyers, some securities professionals. We have a high school teacher.
Wow.
So we have a diverse group.
And you've been a member since 2018, is that right?
That's right. In fact, the next month is my last day.
Wow. Well, congratulations on your term. Are there specific IAC initiatives that you're looking forward to seeing the committee tackle in the upcoming year?
Well, I think that the IAC is continuing to look at a number of issues. They'll have subsequent, I understand, hearings on cryptocurrency issues, digital asset specific issues. And we had a great hearing on that in November. We learned a lot from thoughtful panel. I think the commission is going to be undertaking some initiatives that we've recommended as an IAC. I worked on an issue specific to market structure, stock exchange regulation, and conflicts of interest posed by payment for order flow and exchange rebate that was kind of highlighted in the GameStop affair. And we were able to have recommendations that were unanimous on those market structure issues. And I think that we're going to see the SEC do some rulemaking to address those conflicts of interest. We've also had some debates at the IAC about issues like ESG, where we didn't have unanimity. We had more of a debate, but if we had a thoughtful debate, I learned a lot from those debates with Damon Silvers and Ann Simpson, and Sheehan and all the folks representing the pension fund community. I think that the thoughtful back and forth we've had is going to inform the commission's back and forth on these issues. So yeah, I think we've learned a lot, we've done a lot, and I think we've made a lot of friendships along the way, which is not uncommon in securities law. You know, it's a big club.
Yeah, it's a very friendly community. That sounds wonderful. And you mentioned that one specific issue that you're interested in is how the SEC approaches the regulation of digital assets. Could you tell me about your petition on that topic, which I understand is based on the IAC's hearing on crypto?
Sure. Yeah. So I submitted it's always fun if you need something to do on a weekend to submit a public proposal to the SEC.
I was looking for more things to do on the weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, my friend Rob Jackson submitted one on political expenditure that caused a big racket. So yeah. I thought, let me do a version of that. So I submitted a proposal for rulemaking that actually wasn't proposing a rule, but proposing the SEC open up a call for comment the same way the SEC did for environmental issues last year. And I called it a digital asset regulation Genesis block. Genesis block was the first block minted on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Hmm.
So I suggested this would be an open call for comment on digital asset regulation. It would be a great kind of digital asset regulation Genesis block to get input from the community about all the unique ways in which digital assets don't really fit in some of the boxes that have been created under 33 and 34 Act regs. Just to give you one example, miners who help to mine and validate transactions on the blockchain and grow the currency could be treated as underwriters under the 33 Act. I don't think that makes any sense because that's not what they're doing. They're not acting as an underwriter, but I think they'd probably be treated as an underwriter under the 33 Act. So I think but on the other hand, there's a lot of things you'd want to know if you're investing in a token. About the underlying tokenomics, the plan for distribution, you know, how governance is going to work that are not necessarily included in current 34 Act regs that you don't see mentioned in, you know, in Reg SK. And there's also, you know, in some ways, like you don't really need proxy rules for voting tokens because, you know, there's no proxies involved.
Just
very easily vote your token, right? So there's adjustments that need to be made that I think would be reasonable. I think the SEC could learn about those issues with a call for comment to get the discussion started.
Yeah, that's an interesting suggestion. I'm sure it would be very informative, but then they would also have to wade through probably a lot of comments from people who might not be as familiar with the securities laws.
Well, that's true. The crypto community is vocal, and they have a lot of energy.
That's true.
So, yeah. But, you know, it's also true that it kind of amazes me. The more I get involved in crypto law communities, there are a lot of stories of people that say, yeah, I did a few years at Cravath, and now I'm working on a crypto project and helping adapt securities law to this project.
Absolutely. Yes.
Corporate securities lawyers working in this space. So
yes, and at some of the crypto companies, they have amazing legal teams.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I by no means mean to deride the entire crypto community. I'm just imagining the staff wading through mountains of other comments to discover those gems.
Yeah. Now, look, since I've started commenting on these issues on Twitter, my Twitter feed has changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's also just the community's evolving.
Yes.
As the technology evolves.
Yep.
So I would like to see the SEC engage a little bit more, and this is one suggestion for how to do that.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. And then how does the SEC use the input that the Investor Advisory Committee provides?
Well, sometimes the input is included in the investor advocate's submission. See, the investor advocate is attached to the IEC and is independent, but is also a member of the IEC, works with us, helps to facilitate what we do. And he does his own report to Congress annually. And sometimes he includes a lot of issues that we have recommended, or usually includes the issues we've recommended in the report. And the SEC is also supposed to respond to us. And we have discussions. The executive committee of the IEC has discussions with the commissioners and the chair every quarter for our quarter meeting. And so, you know, sometimes we do comment letters to rulemaking that hopefully is utilized and referenced in the rulemaking.
Yeah.
So there's a few different ways that we kind of interact. And sometimes we have staff come in and talk to the panel, sit on the panel and have a public discussion. Sometimes we have members from the public who have expertise in an issue. So in some ways we were there to inform the commission. In some ways we kind of presaged the debate that might happen at the commission level.
Yeah.
And in some ways we give them new ideas. And in some ways I think sometimes the IEC pokes and prods the commission a little bit to do something. But it's all, I think it's a very healthy, open thing. And I think that chairs of both parties, appointed by both parties, have found it useful. They found it a useful way to engage.
Yeah, it does sound useful and just like a great experience.
I highly recommend it. It's a great experience.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, the SEC recently announced that it's seeking candidates, as I mentioned, for appointment to the IAC. So do you have suggestions for anyone listening who wants to throw their hat in the ring?
Sure. I would go on the Investor Advisory Committee's website and submit an application, include a comment letter, talk about, watch a few IAC meetings. They're all webcast online. I'd watch a few of them, why you want to serve and the expertise you bring to the table. I think we need to get a lot more members coming in, and I'm going to be an interested spectator at IAC meetings going forward.
That's great. Well, thanks for joining me today, JW, and thank you as well to our listeners for tuning in to this episode.
Well, thank you, Liz.